Well, we have been talking about loving as Jesus loves. And this morning, the doctor was, I asked him to teach you something. Did he teach you anything? Did you learn anything from him? What'd you learn? Nobody learned anything about, maybe I shouldn't have Dr. Wizzle come back. Please. Okay, Jesus loves on the inside. That wasn't quite what I wanted him to tell you. Anybody remember? What do you guys remember? What do you remember, Riley? What's, oh, now you're going to play the shy card? Okay, whatever's on the inside will eventually come out. Well, this is an awesome lesson for us to understand because we're talking about Jesus loving as Jesus loves. And sometimes what's on our inside isn't pretty and eventually it'll come out. And so this morning, I want to talk specifically about some of what's on the inside. Now, to start this, I need to tell a little bit on myself, but I'll ask you first. Have you ever gotten mad at somebody because they did something to you? It was probably an accident. They really didn't mean anything by it, but you got all mad at them. Anybody ever do that? Lucas, you ever do that? Yeah. You think it was on purpose. Little kids can think thoughts on purpose. Anybody ever knock something out of your hand and you're like, my little sister, get, you ever get mad at your little sister, Caitlin? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm supposed to. Okay, sometimes, well, okay, I'll tell on myself. So this week on Tuesday, I was out here at the church working. And I was going to go home because we have a Tuesday night Bible study. And so I was rushing home because I wanted to get a little food to eat before the Zoom meeting started. Michelle was coming this way. So she came out here. We crossed paths at the church here because she was coming in for worship team. I get all the way home and I open the garage door with my opener and I go in and Michelle has locked the inside garage door to our house. Now there's a problem with that. I have no key to my own house. Erica has my key from a year ago because her and Tim took care of our pets. We gave the spare key to the realtor. Michelle has a key, but I don't have a key. So the only way I can get into the house is through the garage door opener unless somebody locks the inside garage door. Okay? Now, do you think I was really happy about that? Oh, I'm locked out of my house. Do you think that made me happy? Yeah, probably not. I was not happy. I was mad. And so I'm like, how dare Michelle? You know, she locked me out of the house. You know, what is she thinking locking that? I tell her not to lock that inside garage door. And she went and locked the inside of that garage door. And that's just not right. I call her and say, Michelle, why'd you lock the inside of the garage door? You know, and I'm like, rah, 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 rah. And she's like, well, you shouldn't give your keys away, you know. Now, let me ask you a question. Is my attitude response right or not right? Is it Jesus-like or not? Probably not right, okay? It probably wasn't a right attitude. Now, do you think Michelle intentionally was trying to lock me out of my own house? Maybe. Come on, she likes me. Wow, that's not the response I had. Okay. No. The kids got it right, no, but the adults are like, maybe, okay. I doubt whether she really intentionally locked the door to lock me out. But here's the thing. And I see this with kids, I see this with adults, sometimes things happen to us, and it's an accident. They didn't intend for that to happen, that's not what they wanted to happen, and yet we get all mad, we get all bent out of shape, we get all angry thinking that they have a vendetta, that they have an agenda against us, that, you know, how dare they do that to us when it was purely an accident. Now here's the problem. When we have that kind of attitude, like Dr. Wizzle was teaching this morning, what's on the inside can come out of us. And do you think that kind of wrath, that kind of anger would come out of Jesus? No. No, because he was grace-filled. He had a lot of grace and a lot of forgiveness in him. And when push came to shove, actually what came out of Jesus was grace and forgiveness rather than judgment and wrath. So that's what I want to talk about with you this morning. And the way we've been doing this is we've been looking at scripture passages. So I have two scripture stories that I want to talk about a little bit. And then I just want us to, I want to give you just one challenge today. And so that we can change our attitude a little bit. I remember one time we were at an ice cream place And I got an ice cream cone, and I was excited to have my ice cream cone. And somebody, as we went down to a park, and we were down at the park, and somebody backed into me, somebody bumped into me, and my ice cream cone went boom, down onto the ground. Now, 10-second rule does not count with ice cream, folks, okay? Don't try that. You'll get a lot of dirt and everything else. So it's a mess. It's gone. I'm on an ice cream cone, and it was really easy for me to go, "How dare you bump into me?" And it was just an accident. It was nobody's fault. You know, we were all just sort of goofing around, having a good time, and they didn't see where I was, and I wasn't paying attention where they were. Boop, there it goes. It was nobody's fault. And what we need to do is respond with forgiveness and grace rather than respond with anger and vengeance and I'm going to pay them back and I'm going to get them back. But unfortunately, society teaches us to get even and to pay back. Bad for bad and good for good. You get even with people. If somebody hurts you, you hurt them back. If somebody gets mad at you, you get mad at them before they have a chance of getting madder at you. And on goes this vicious cycle. And Jesus says, no. If you want to really love like I love, when somebody offends you, when somebody hurts you, return grace, return forgiveness, return love rather than anger. All right, to get going this morning, we're going to do a Bible story. But before we go there, I have a chore for somebody, and I'm going to pay them to do this chore. In fact, I want to pay you to do it while we're talking this morning. So do I have a... Your face lit up, Lucas. Okay, come on up, Lucas. Okay, come on up, Lucy. All right. Okay, I want to set an agreement before we start, okay? I would like you to take those chairs and move those chairs to over around that window. Nice and neat, as neat as you can do it. It's not a race, so please don't race. Take your time. But I want to move those chairs to that side. And if you work on that while I'm talking, and I want you to keep listening to what I'm saying, is a dollar good to pay you? You think I should do $2? How about $2? I'll pay you $2. I ain't got that much. I'll pay you $2. What if I pay you $2? And all I need you to do is to start moving those chairs. When we're done, I'll settle up with you, okay? Is an agreement? Okay, just bump fingers here. We won't shake on it, but we'll bump, okay, on it. So you guys go ahead and just start moving those. But keep listening because I'm going to keep talking. And when we're done, I'll settle up with you. All righty? So there's a passage of scripture that I want to take you to that I'd like you to pay attention to a little bit. We're going to jump into something Jesus did. This came from the book of Matthew, chapter 7, and the instance of this is the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus is teaching a big sermon. He's on the mountainside, sort of like what I'm doing this morning. He's teaching truths, and people are listening, except there's probably a couple thousand people in his crowd that day with the Sea of Galilee in the background. And he's teaching. It's the only time that Jesus actually did sort of a sermon, sort of did preaching. He did a lot of teaching, but this was the time when it was really formal, like what we're doing this morning. And so in Matthew chapter 7, and a lot of this sermon has to do with loving the way that Jesus loves. And so Jesus lived it as an example, but he also taught it because he wants us to love like Jesus loves. He wanted us to love like he loves. So he was an example as well. So in the sermon, he actually teaches this. So Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. I'm going to put this on the overhead if you want to follow along with this verse. And here's the verse. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrites, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, Jesus was a person and is a person who loves to share grace and forgiveness with everyone, and it seems like his grace is limitless. That he's always wanting to share grace and always willing to forgive. But it's interesting because I want to point out something here to you. There is a limit on God's grace. There is a limit on Jesus' forgiveness. And I want to talk about that for just a minute. So it surprises me how often I run into this. And I want to say this before I go into the limit. I run into a lot of people who tell me, I have to clean up before I come to church. You know, you really don't want the likes of me in the church building. You don't want me there. You know, I have to get some things right before I come to Jesus. Thank you. Alrighty. And they feel like as if they have to be all clean. And I always tell them, you know what? Jesus accepts it's not a race. Just take one. Don't. Okay. Tell mom bad advice. You're going to get $2 regardless, okay? Whether you. So don't kill yourself. All right. So now I can go back to where I was. So they tell me that, you know, Pastor John, I really can't come to church because I got so much garbage in my life. And I always want to remind them, you know, Paul said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us deserve God's grace. And here's the deal. We can't clean ourselves up enough to come to Jesus. And yet Jesus, you know, he wants us to be holy. He wants us to be righteous. And people get this idea that I got to be all perfect before I can come to church, before I can come to Jesus. And I tell them, no, you don't, because Jesus takes us right where we are. Jesus accepts us right where we are. Now, he loves us so much, he doesn't leave us where we are, but he accepts us where we are. And here's a kudos for all the adults of our church, okay? Whether you're out there in Facebook land or here, here's something that I'm excited about. I'm excited to be a part of a church that also agrees with Jesus and lives that principle out in our church. That we tend to be a church that just accepts people where they are with the baggage, with the garbage, with everything else in their lives. And I can tell you, not all churches are that way. There's plenty of churches out there where you have to be cleaned up, you have to act right, you have to look right, smell right, drive the right car before you're accepted. I'm glad that I'm a part of a church that lives out Jesus' model to accept people right where they are. So Jesus, now let's go back to the limit. So Jesus accepts us where we are, but there is a limit on God's grace. All right, before we go there, you guys are doing pretty good. I need two more. I want to hire two more people. They have plenty to do. Ethan, you want to help? Aubrey, you want to help? Okay, I'll hire you two, so come on up. Well, I'm just going to hire these two right now, okay? But I want to set a deal before we start. Hang on, you don't know what you're doing. I may not have you do that. I'll pay you. Okay. I'll make a deal with you. Here's my contract with you. You guys keep going. Thank you. I'll pay you $2 to help them out, move chairs, okay? And we'll settle up when we're done. Is that a deal? Deal? Okay, deal. Deal. All right, go ahead. You can help them. All right. So there is a limit on God's grace, and Jesus says what that limit is our willingness to forgive. So if we're not willing to forgive, then Jesus says, I'm not going to forgive. Now, Lucas, you listening, that was part of the deal, right? You had to keep listening to what I was saying, right? Okay, so what's the limit on God's grace, Lucas? You remember? Okay, I'm going to say it again. The limit on God's grace is that God will forgive, Jesus will forgive to the extent that we're willing to forgive. And if we're not willing to forgive, Jesus says, okay, then I'm not going to forgive you. If that's the way you want to judge other people, then I'm going to continue on judging you. So there actually is a limit on God's or Jesus' grace. And I think that's sort of fascinating. And Jesus said that, not me, okay? So there is a limit. So do not judge, is what Jesus said, or you will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So the only limit of Christ's forgiveness and Christ's grace is our willingness to forgive other people. Now, that can be a little ouchy. In other words, if I get mad at somebody and I don't want to forgive them, should Jesus forgive me? If I hold a grudge and I don't want to let it go, should Jesus forgive me? No. Jesus said that. Your extent of forgiveness is the extent that I want to forgive you. And if you hold grudges, if you won't let things go, then I don't know that I will let things go. So maybe your brother or sister causes you to spill something. And you get all mad about it. And you get all ouchy. And you get angry about it. And you don't want to let that go. And you want to get even with them. So the next time they have something, you make them knock it out of their hand. And you get all upset. Jesus says, you know what? If that's the way you want to be, then I don't know that I want to forgive you when you hurt me, when you do things against me. Now, parents, this is something that I'd love you to listen to and hear this morning. If you want to do, this is one thing, if you could take this away from LifeSpring, kudos to you. But if you can teach your child this, you will teach them something that will help them be more godly and get them further ahead in this life than anything else. And here it is. Help your children not to be victims, but rather be responsible. Did you hear that? I put it on the overhead. Raise your children not to be victims, but be responsible. We live, and I'm talking just to the adults here for a second, we live in a victimization culture right now. Everybody's a victim because of what their parents did, what somebody else did, what a different race did, what the government did, what China did. We live in a victimization culture, and I want to tell you, that culture is contrary to the culture of Christ. It does not compute. It doesn't go together. And if you want to help your kids really find Christ and understand His love and His ways, help them understand that. Don't be a victim. Be responsible. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Once you begin, so then He uses an illustration. He says, the amount you're willing to forgive is the amount that I'll forgive you. And then He says an illustration. Here, Lucas, let me pull you aside for a second, okay? Let's say that I see in Lucas that he has some dust in his eye. Like you got, let's say you've got a gnat in your eye. Okay? And so I come over like, oh, Lucas, let me help you get that gnat out. And I start working on that gnat, but I have a bee stuck in my eye. Would that make a lot of sense? Shouldn't I take care of this bee first, probably, rather than trying, I'll be sitting here going, poking your eye. You know, that would not be pleasant. Okay, you can go back to work. It wouldn't be pleasant. And that's what Jesus says. Why will you try to help somebody get dust out of their eye when all the time you have a plank in your own eye? And this is the idea. This is the thought. Be responsible for yourself and don't be a victim of everyone else. Okay, I need a little more help. Caitlin, you want to help me now? Blake, you want to help me now? Okay, come up here. I want to cut you a deal. I want to cut you a deal first. Come here, Caitlin. Caitlin, I want to cut you a deal. Blake, come on up. I'll cut you a deal. Will you guys agree to help them finish moving these chairs if I pay you $2? You agree to that? Help them finish? Okay. Deal. You help them finish those chairs, give me $2. All right. So Christ, if we're going to love like Jesus, then we need to learn to forgive other people. We need to let some of the hurts and some of the things go, because here's the deal. Life is not fair. Adults, have you figured that out yet? Yep. Life ain't fair. Stuff happens. People knock your ice cream out of your hands. Fingers get closed in doors, you know. Hey, people get sick. This COVID thing, it's not fair. Randomly, some people get sick. So life is not fair. And if I'm sitting here holding all of those grudges and holding all of that stuff, not willing to forgive, Jesus says, that's not my love. That's not my way. My way is that you learn to forgive. Well, you guys have done really well. Oh, hey. Payday. Ask your dad what payday means. He'd know what payday means. Okay, so you guys got the work done? Okay, so let's put Lucas and Lucy in the back. Okay, you go to that side. Who did I hire in the middle? I hired you two in the middle, so you go right about there. And I hired you two last. Okay, so you were the last ones that helped. Did you move a lot of chairs? Blake, did you move a lot of chairs? No? Did you move a lot of chairs? But what was my deal? If you helped them, what was I going to pay you?
Dollars.
How many? I cut a deal specifically. You remember? Blake, do you remember how much I said I'd pay you?
I know.
You don't remember? Oh, can I hire you permanently then? I'll hire you for $100, Blake. Here's $1. Well, I'll stay faithful to my end of the bargain. I said I'd pay you $2. There you go. Okay. Good job, Blake. Thank you. Okay, Caitlin, way to go. All righty. Did you guys move some chairs? Did you move a ton of chairs? Okay. How much did I agree to pay you? They got $2. How much do you think? What do you think? I said two? Okay, here's $2. All righty. Alrighty. Fist bump. All right. All right, Lucy and Lucas, did you guys move some chairs?
I moved a lot.
You moved a lot of chairs.
Nine.
Wow, I got a lot of money left. Okay, so what I agree to pay you? $2. Good job, thank you. No bumpy of the fist, no giddy the cash. Is that fair, Lucas?
He helped us
a lot. Oh, it wasn't fair for me to rip Bobby off? Wow, yeah, that's a heart. Was it fair? You got $2. Lucy, was it fair? Got $2. For... Okay, hang on a second. What did we agree to, Lucy? And what was your job? What was your side of the deal? Move chairs. Did you move chairs? And did I pay you $2? So was that fair?
Yes.
Lucas, was that fair? We agreed, $2. Okay. Blake, was that fair? I asked you to help them move chairs. Did you move two chairs? Move some chairs? Get $2? You watched. I saw. You're going to be a great supervisor. Right. Hold it over there. There is something inside of us that always wants to go after fair. That's not fair. I did more work. I did more than my sister did. I did more than somebody else did. Jesus actually taught this very story. A little different. He said a man owned a vineyard, and he hired some guys early in the morning to go work in his vineyard, and they worked all day long, and he agreed at a certain sum of money to pay them. And then halfway through the day, he went to his vineyard, saw more work than he had done. He hired another group of guys and agreed to the same amount of money to work some more. He went mid-afternoon, saw some more work needing done, some more guys needing work, and he said, come work in my vineyard, agreed to pay him the same amount they paid them in the morning. And then right before quitting time, he went into the garden, saw some guys needing work. He said, come on in here. I'll pay you the same amount of money. Didn't tell him the same amount of money, I'll pay you this amount of money to go work in my garden. And they only worked for a couple hours, maybe. Only worked for maybe a half hour, not very long. And then quitting time came, the bell whistled, and they all lined up to get their pay. And he told his servant, the money keeper, he said, I want you to pay all the guys. I agreed to this amount of money for every one of them. I want you to line them up, the latest ones to have worked to the first ones that have worked. And I want you to pay them the set amount of money. And so the man pays, the money keeper pays this first group of guys. And the next group of guys thought, well, okay, if he paid them that much, I'm going to get a little more because I've been working longer. And this group said, wait, if they're going to pay them that much, and I should get away. And the guys that hired first, they said, man, we've been working all day. We're going to make out like bandits today. And you know how much money they got? The same amount as the first guys. And those guys got torqued. They got mad because it wasn't fair. And Jesus said, you know, hang on a second. It keeps telling the story. The landowner went to them and said, didn't I agree to pay you this amount of money to do this amount of work? Yes. Then what's not fair? It's my money, and you're the one who provided the work, and you agreed to it. What's not fair? Well, what's not fair? And you see, we as humans, we have a hard time with that story. We have a hard time letting go of that. And you know what? Adults, we do this. It's not fair God gave them a better car. It's not fair that they got a job promotion and I didn't. It's not fair that I got sick and they didn't get sick. It's not fair that their garden turned out great and my garden the deer got into and ruined. It's not fair. And what we do is we start shaking our fist at God, and then we start getting judgmental towards other people. And that's what we end up doing. You're a jerk. You knocked my ice cream out of my hand. You're dumb. Your mom doesn't like you as much as she likes me. And we start throwing all this stuff out, and we get all critical about the person we feel cheated by. When we weren't cheated, it's just life, just the way it is. And Jesus says, no, that's not the way we're to live. We're to live as graceful people. filled with grace. Now, here's a little bit of that story I want you to catch before we walk away from it. If you get so wrapped up in life not being fair, you'll never catch this huge nuance towards the end of that story. The story isn't about fair or not fair. The story is about God's grace. It's about how huge His grace is. Because here's the deal. If you put us in that story, we are all the ones that were hired and saved and brought in at the last minute, and we don't deserve none of God's grace. We don't deserve any of it. And yet Jesus gives us and lavishes all this grace upon us when we don't deserve it. That's being graceful. Jesus was always filled with grace. If you remember, right before Jesus died, He was hanging on a cross. He was being crucified, and there was two robbers on either side of Him. One robber started insulting Jesus and criticizing Jesus, and the other robber said, "Shut up, leave Him alone. This is the Son of God. We deserve to die. He doesn't deserve to die." And He leans over, well, looks over, "Jesus, please forgive me." And there on the cross, this guy is about to die. At the last minute, he asks for forgiveness, and Jesus says, "Okay, today I forgive you. Today you will be in paradise with me. You're going to be saved." This guy lived a horrible life, a terrible life, and at the very last minute snuck into heaven. Does that seem fair? No. Especially for some of you kids that are being raised in church and living for Jesus your whole life, and then somebody gets in at the last, it doesn't seem fair. But see, it's not about what we think is fair. It's about God's grace. And that's what the story is about. It's about God's grace that He lavishes us with a lot of grace because none of us deserve it. All right, I was going to give you a whole bunch of ideas as to how to live this out, and I decided, forget that. That's way too much. So I want to go to just one simple challenge for this week for you that I'd like you to pay attention to, and I want you to try it during the week. One of the best ways to become graceful is to begin to look for the best in other people rather than the worst. And as human nature dictates, we tend to look for the worst in people, not the best. So I want to push that a little bit. I want to challenge that. I want you kids to really work on this. I want you to start looking for the best in other people rather than the worst. And when you find it, I want you to celebrate it. So I want you to look for the good in others and celebrate that good. So a great place to start is even in your own house. So in your home, look for the best in your brothers and your sisters and your mom and your dad. Kids, look for the best in your parents. Look for the best in your kids. I want us this week to try our best to look for the best in other people. And then not just look for the good, I want you to celebrate the good. And what happens when we celebrate the good is we rah-rah. So we don't just like, "Oh, that was nice. They actually gave up their ice cream for me, you know? Oh, nice." No, get all celebratory. "Woo! You know, he gave me his ice cream. This is awesome," you know. Celebrate the good. Now, one way to celebrate the good that you find in other people is ask them to help you with their good. We all don't have every talent in the world. We can't do everything. And so maybe your brother or sister draws really good, and a way you could celebrate that is by asking them to help draw something for you. Asking them to help. And Christians, adults, we are to be neighborly. And here's one of the things. We love to help other people, but we don't like to be helped. There's this big thing called pride. And it's so much easier to give a cup of sugar than to ask for a cup of sugar. And yet research tells us that one of the best ways to build a bridge into somebody else's life is to actually, not pandering, but ask them to help you. Because you're acknowledging they have something you don't. You're taking a humble side, and you're asking them to use a power, a gift, a skill, a possession they have to help you. And one of the quickest ways to build a bridge with somebody is actually to ask them to help. And so that's my challenge. Find the good, and then ask, celebrate that good. Ask if that good can be used with you, if you can borrow that good, or borrow their help for something, and in that, you're celebrating the good in other people. So, that's my challenge. We're to love like Jesus, and we're to be graceful. And one of the best ways to be filled with grace is to look for the good in other people, rather than the bad. to give forgiveness rather than seeking vengeance and wrath, to exchange a sweet word for a bitter word, and letting some things go, forgiving people when maybe they hurt you and it may not have even been intentional, letting that go, and instead of finding more things to be mad, by the way, this would be a great lesson for married couples. Just a thought. Great. How many of you married couples try to fix your husbands? Husbands, you ever try to fix your wives? This is a great thing to even practice in a marriage. Look for the best in your spouse. Learn to be grace-filled in your husband-wife relationship as well. So this week, the challenge, look for the good and celebrate that good. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for just this morning of celebration and worship. Thank you that a few of us could be here, a few more gathering back into this place today. Keep us safe. And Father, I pray your blessings upon all of us and pray your blessings upon the children that are here as well. Father, may we truly go counterculture. May we not be victims, but rather be responsible. Rather than be victims, may we be grace-filled, looking for the good in others and celebrating that good. Father, this truth, Jesus, this truth is so timely for our culture and the news stories of the day right now. And I agree with Miss Debbie. We want to pray for our nation. May our nation rediscover this kind of truth, not to be victims, but rather celebrate the good in other people. Be it black, white, blue, be it any color, any culture, any occupation, may we truly learn to be people who celebrate and love anyone who comes into our path. So, Father, help us to do that this week. Help us to live that out in all that we do and say. Amen.